This episode is being recorded out of Shop Talk Podcast Studios in Oak Park, Michigan. For more information, visit www.shoptalkpod.com.
This debut episode of Refreshments and Narcotics Podcast is being sponsored by Party Favors Podcast. Search for Party Favors on Apple Podcasts and SoundCloud and join the livest audio kickback in Metro Detroit. It's a no-kids-allowed atmosphere, but most definitely a safe place for the unsafe people. Tap in to listen to the first two seasons and follow the page to become a party goer. Now let's start the show.
What's up, everybody? It's our debut episode. Yay! Happy Nurses Week.
Happy Nurses Week to you.
Welcome to Refreshments and Narcotics Podcast. I can't believe it is here. It is here. It is here. I am so excited. It is one of your favorite nurses, Nurse Ivory.
Hi, and I'm Nurse Ebony.
We're just happy to start this journey with you guys. I hope you're sitting down. I hope you're able to get that break that you're looking for. But we're here to bring you just a nice, refreshing look out on nursing, don't you think?
Yes. We need a little uplifting inspiration.
Just to break up that 12 hours. Right. It's a long shift.
Yeah.
I would say.
Right.
But, I mean, for those that do 12, not hating on those that do 8 or 10.
We're going to get to that
later. We'll get to you guys. Show y'all love at some point. But, this is just your midday nursing passion. Pick me up to support you through your day. Come to us. We're here for you. And I just want you guys to get to know us, right?
Right.
Refreshments and Narcotics. It started from a joke.
Yes. 2015.
2015. Started from a joke as a description of what RN stands for. Do y'all feel me? I feel like one of the things that we do the most is what?
Refreshments and narcotics.
We give water.
Yep.
All the time.
Turkey sandwiches.
Turkey sandwiches.
Turkey salad sandwiches. Oh, peanut butter jelly sandwiches.
Yes. The refreshments are endless. Maybe peanut butter crackers.
Verner's, maybe.
Depends on how swanky the hospital is.
Right, right.
And then, obviously, the biggest part is the narcotics, you know.
The big D.
What, the Dila?
Dila. Can I get some of that Dilata?
I'm allergic to morphine.
I'm allergic to
Tylenol.
Oh, I can't have ibuprofen. I need that Dila.
Dilala. What is it called?
Dilala.
Diluted. No matter how you try to fake pronounce it, we know you know what the drug is.
You know exactly what
just
it is.
Just spoiler alert.
And you know the dose you want, too. Let's be honest.
Last time I came, I think I got 1 milligram Q2.
What milligram is that? Can you push that real fast?
With a flush.
Hey,
with a flush.
With a flush. And also, I'm going to need some Benadryl IV.
Can I have some Benadryl after that, please? Floating on a cloud.
Right. There you go.
So I decided to turn this into a podcast after it became a blog. And just here, really just to support each other, right? Mm-hmm. To be able to hear each other and become the voices of nursing that we like to hear. Mm-hmm. So for you to get to know us, Nurse Ebony, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
Yes. So I have been a nurse for about 9 years now. I graduated an associate's degree program in a rural area. Started out in the ER. I was 20 years old. Didn't know shit. Didn't know shit.
That's looking the standard.
Looking back, I can't believe I was trusted in that environment. Oh, my God. Trial by fire. So I did ER for a few years then, and then I left the ER because I was sick of being on night shift. I had a new baby. So I decided to go into interventional radiology, which is a procedural area. That's one of those 10-hour shift
the 10 hours
jobs, the no holidays, the rare weekends.
I'll hold my opinion.
Right, right. We can talk about that later.
Yeah.
But that job, the call load was really heavy, so I decided I needed to move on from that. I moved out of state. And then I got a job in endoscopy.
What? That's our meeting place, if anybody cares.
It's a special place in our heart.
It's a special place in the gut, too.
Yes, it is.
It really is.
So, you know, another procedural area. Got to get those 8 hours, 10 hours, you know, no weekends, no holidays. But then a big, you know, changes in my life were coming. I decided I really missed those 12-hour shifts. So I went back home to the ER.
You never know what you miss until you don't do it anymore.
Exactly. So, you know, going back to the ER was a lot like coming home for me, coming back to my roots of nursing. And it's been really great. I started that job back in June. I've met some really great people and continue to learn every day. That's me.
Okay, girl. Mm-hmm. I hear you. Yes. Hear you for the variety. Well, for myself, I actually, you know, started off as a nurse assistant right before nursing school. And I became a nurse in 2012. So that will put me at the 7-year mark of being a registered nurse. Coming out of nursing school, I was blessed enough to take a day shift position on an intermediate care floor. It's critical care. It's like that purgatory before ICU and after GPU. Mm-hmm. So you kind of get a bunch of everything. And I did that for 2.5 years. I really did love it. I had an awesome nurse family. I miss them so much. I have never replicated a nurse family like that ever again. I'm just so sad about it. Obviously, still mourning. And then I moved to endoscopy.
Say what?
What? So endoscopy, it attracted me because I'm like, oh, I only have to work 8-hour shifts or 10-hour shifts. It's much shorter shifts. Girl, you don't have no time off.
I know.
It's terrible.
It's terrible.
You're working 4 to 5 days a week, which you think you want that 8-hour job like everybody else. But then you realize if you have kids, you really don't have time for anything.
No.
So I worked there for almost a year while doing supplemental work as a just a PRN nurse everywhere else. And then I decided, you know what, I need to go to intensive care. Mm-hmm. So I moved over to a cardiovascular intensive care unit, which if you're an ICU nurse, you know CVICU nurses is the place to be.
It's the top ICU.
It's the echelon. Okay. Yes. I don't know what to tell you.
Listen,
that is who we are. Yeah. And I loved it. I will never say I did not love being a CVICU nurse. I did it for 3 years. And as of last June, because I got married and didn't need insurance anymore, I've become a contract ICU nurse. So I have no complaints about that. Besides, I miss the heavy load of CVICU. I never thought I would say that. The craziness of it, the intense patient load, I miss it a lot. But the paychecks make up for it. So yes. I'm gonna do what I gotta do.
You gotta get that cheese.
Gotta get that check.
Yep.
For all of our contract nurses out there, salute to y'all. Y'all know what it is. They be hating from the sidelines. That's all that is. I know they're gonna be like, you guys don't even get sick patients. You're mad. Just say you're mad.
So I will say, when we met in endoscopy, I immediately was attracted to your spirit, your strength.
Me?
Yes, you. I found out, you know, through the grapevine, you had a son.
Mm-hmm.
I also had a daughter, and I thought,
we just mix.
I want to be this girl's friend.
Nurse Ebony used to wear red lipstick to work. Oh. Okay. Red lipstick on that beautiful skin. And everybody would just be like, who she think she is? Her hair would come in flowing. She would have her little curls and her red lipstick on. There's just like this little young tenderoni walking around with this red lipstick on around all these little GI surgeons. Who she think she is?
Listen, they hating.
It was really hating on her. I'm not going to lie. We worked with a lot of senior people.
Yes.
So they wasn't feeling it. No. But I loved it. And she loved Beyonce. So
click. Yep.
That's just how that went.
BFFs forever.
You can always, if you can't bond on Beyonce, I just don't know where life is going to take you at
right,
this point.
Right. So yeah, on the subject of nurses tearing each other down, we will get to that at some point
upcoming episode. We have so many topics to go through, right? So we're going to always take you behind the nurse's station, and we're going to take you into the conversations, the hot topics, the controversies, the celebrations of being a nurse, mm-hmm. in this lifestyle of nursing, because it truly is a lifestyle. We learn how to mold everything in our personal lives around our careers. It just all seems, once you really get that fit, it all seems to work out so well, right?
It does.
And since it's Nurses Week, you guys, y'all call us to ask everything. Should I go to the ER? My foot is hurting. What should I take? You know, my son been throwing up all day. What should I do? Like, you don't have a pediatrician?
My kid has had a fever for 3 days. It's 103 now. Well, okay. When was his last dose of Tylenol?
I was supposed to give Tylenol?
Oh, wait. Well, I didn't really want to give it. I wanted to wait till we got here so you could see he had a fever.
We don't charge you guys for any of these, any of this advice. So I feel like if you see a nurse out, it's Nurses Week, give us a hug and we'll take a dollar.
Well, I'll take a Starbucks coffee.
Coffee and donuts.
A grande.
We're not much
white.
Different from police. We'll take coffee and donuts.
Coffee
100%.
And donuts. Yes.
But not just one. Got to do both.
Right.
Kay.
Do both. And we also take Venmo.
cash app, you know.
Yeah.
Put a little nurse in the emoji in the description and we'll understand.
Right,
we'll love it,
right?
So to get this show started, while you guys were so busy updating those nurse the whiteboards, you know, because those are very important,
mm-hmm.
your name, remember,
God forbid
your patient don't know how to spell
your name
to write on your daisies, things can go sideways. So while you were busy with that, we had yet another non-nurse public figure of some sort make a controversial statement.
Yes.
That has caused an uproar amongst all nurses.
Yes. Yes. So, you know, this is kind of the latest big uproar within the nursing field since the whole doctor stethoscope fiasco. And, you know, if people haven't learned from that...
No one's ever going to
learn. Don't ever piss off your nurse.
It's like the worst thing you could ever do.
You are going to get thousands and thousands of people around this country coming after you if you say something bad about nurses. So Senator Maureen Walsh from the state of Washington, she was opposing a bill that would provide nurses with uninterrupted meal breaks and rest breaks.
Because who needs a break?
Right. I mean, I don't know about you, but I have been through so many shifts without a break. I have her quote here. Quote, by putting these types of mandates on a critical access hospital that literally serves a handful of individuals, I would submit to you those nurses probably do get breaks. They probably play cards and a considerable amount of the day. They probably play cards a considerable amount of the day.
So okay. I know you don't want me to play devil's advocate, right?
Well, let's do it for fun.
So being a contract nurse now, mm-hmm. I do work at a very small level 3 hospital mm-hmm. at times in the ICU. We may have a total of 7 patients. The ICU only holds 12 patients anyway, so it's not really saying much. And being that is a level 3, which I think she was referencing rural hospitals, these very small hospitals, being that is a level 3, our ICU patients is like not really an ICU patient in my experience, because I come from level 1 experience and background, right? I'm not going to lie. I have used, I have used some time to catch up on my Netflix series because I had one patient, and this is in the ICU. So let me not speak for those in the GPU mm-hmm. who have multiple 6 to 7, you know, mm-hmm. depending on how critical the staffing shortage is. So I have one or maybe 2 patients that quote unquote need ICU care that in my opinion don't need ICU care, but whatever. And I've had downtime.
Mm-hmm.
So I get what she's trying to say. Even in that downtime, I've never in my 10 years of being in the healthcare profession seen anyone bring out cards.
Listen, how old is this woman? Because do people even play cards anymore?
Do you have like a deck of cards in your don't you pull out no cards? Oh my Lord.
Oh, he's got cards.
Lord,
oh, you guys,
I can't.
We have a pack of cards right here.
We do. Let's play cards while we are.
Let's play some cards while we're.
You know, we can do some solitaire while we're recording.
Oh my goodness.
But you know what, nurses, we are very good at what is it? What am I trying to say?
Poker? Strip
no,
poker?
No, what? Lord, strip poker? Don't turn this into that.
That's the kind of card game.
Multitasking is what I was trying to say.
Yes.
I mean, if I was to I've seen people play Candy Crush on their phone, you know,
all day long.
You know, at the nurse's station, but This is midnights, mind you. We are midnight nurses.
Right.
We cannot speak for day shift nurses. I am never going to not say that day shift nurses are not more busy.
So here's my take on this. I know she was referring to smaller hospitals, but when we're talking about political like protection of these employees, you know, and making sure that we have good working conditions, no matter where we are. You have to include all of us. If we're not protecting those nurses in the rural areas too, people are less likely to go out there and work.
Yeah,
you know?
True.
And I was actually reading through some, you know, testimonials or whatever from these small town nurses who work at hospitals like this. And a lot of them, you know, say they're in the ER, they're functioning as the respiratory therapist, the lab,
the
pharmacist. They're mixing all their own drinks.
That is actually very accurate.
Like they have more responsibilities put on them because they don't have the resources that we have being at a bigger hospital. Mm-hmm. You know, I have never had to give a breathing treatment at my
girl. The one time I was about to give a breathing treatment, I'm like, what am I supposed to do with this? Did they teach this in nursing school?
Right.
I'm not really sure. Maybe they did. Right. It was a very long time ago.
Right.
But
shout out to our favorite RTs out there.
You know, we love
best.
You guys.
Yes.
I hope you're listening.
Yes.
Hearts out to you guys.
you know, we have techs in the ER. And
yeah.
Those guys are lifesavers. I mean, they're helping us with our IVs and our catheters, and they're saving us time in the end. You know, we all stay busy. So these poor rural area nurses, like they deserve the same protection. Sure, maybe every once in a while they're slow and they have time for a game of rummy. But
rummy,
or space, or Cards Against Humanity,
whatever you can think of, and that is a really good point though, because big hospitals, level one hospitals, we delegate out a lot of tasks, you have phlebotomists. Some hospitals, I know there's one here in Metro Detroit that has EKG techs.
Yeah.
Which is crazy to me. Like, you need an EKG, someone comes and does it. Not like we're not capable as nurses and or nurse assistants to do EKGs. You have IV teams, people that come put in the IVs. Of course, the nurse assistants. Of course, then unit secretaries,
right.
Respiratory therapists, physical therapists, occupational therapists. Pharmacy techs.
Yeah.
You know how many hospitals with pharmacies don't have pharmacy techs?
Oh, that's
and ridiculous. So I when I was a per diem nurse, like on the side, I worked at a community hospital, another one, where there was like no transporters. So you had to transport all your own patients. There was no tubing system. A lot of people in big hospitals have tubing systems where you can send things from units to different departments via tube system, right? There wasn't that. So you would have to walk down like four flights to go get your blood or go get your medications to deliver your labs. And I'm like, why is this still around in 2000 something?
I know.
Why is there no tubing system? But it was a smaller hospital.
Yeah.
They didn't really it did not make sense for them to invest the money into a tubing system when their patient population doesn't really call and their revenue doesn't really call for such.
Yeah. That first hospital I worked at,
mm-hmm.
I didn't have transport.
So you guys had to always transport your own self?
I was transporting my own self. And, you know, we were always short on nursing assistants to help us with those kinds of things. So I was transferring, like, med-surg patients to the floor with nursing escorts. Meanwhile, I have my four other ER patients
right, that need you to be with them.
Right.
So I get, though I do not condone what, she a senator?
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Senator Walsh. I do not condone the suggestion, you know, that some nurses get to play cards all day. I get what she's trying to say. Mm-hmm. Some smaller hospitals do have a lot of downtime.
Right.
However, I don't think it's going to break anybody to allow us to eat for 30 minutes.
Exactly.
Because that is one of the biggest things, especially working in level one hospitals. We work in level one hospitals, trauma centers. Being able to, if you're not an assertive nurse that's like, no, I'm gonna going go to eat. I'm going to break.
I'm hangry.
By the way, my hand is raised.
Right.
Because I am one of those nurses. If my patient is not dying, I have full faith in you that you can handle this for 30 minutes at the very least. At the very least. They are not dying. They are not coding. I will be back.
Right.
Okay.
You can handle
it. I need to eat. I need to step away from the unit. Because yep. there's so much that comes mentally with this job, physically with this job, emotionally with this job. And if you don't remove yourself, I highly recommend, especially new nurses or future nurses that are listening, if you don't remove yourself from 30 minutes to decompress, to meditate, to eat, to rest your eyes, to scroll through your phone, do whatever you need to do to detach yourself from this, it will wear on you.
It will. And a lot of newer nurses I see, and I was one of them mm-hmm. before, they almost act like... you know, they want someone to notice that they're not going to
They're not
break.
Taking a
like,
break, yeah.
They don't want to look weak, you know, and they want to make a good impression on those older, more experienced nurses. But that's not impressing anyone.
It's kind of become like a culture, though.
It is a culture. It's a culture thing. Like, oh, I'm just going to skip lunch today. I'm going to hold my pee for too long.
I'll be right back. I'm only going to eat for 15 minutes. Right. You know what I say when people say that? I say, please go away.
Yes.
Go away.
You need it.
Take at least 30 if you're not going to take the full hour, which... For those that aren't listening, we like to combine all our breaks and our lunches into a whole hour. I don't know anybody that just takes 30. If you're going to break, you're going for an hour. But for those that do take 30, 35, hearts out to y'all because y'all are really team players. But at least you're taking your break. But I always tell people, like, please go. Yeah. Don't rush back.
No, don't rush.
I have the mental capacity. I have the skills to handle this.
Yes.
If it gets too terrible, I have a nursing team around me. We can figure this out so you can get that time because it's so necessary, you guys. It really is for you to take care of yourself on the job, not just when you get home.
Yeah. We do have lives in our hands and we need to be taking care of our mental, physical, emotional health ourselves. If we're not healthy, if we're not, you know, well nourished,
mm-hmm.
if our blood sugar's low.
Because God forbid if you have water at the nursing station.
Oh, God.
God forbid you try to hydrate yourself in between 10 Listen. Patients if you're in the ER.
Hide your drink. Hide your snacks.
Right.
Because the manager's walking around.
They're walking around. Excuse you. Excuse me. I understand you're parched.
Whose Diet Coke is that?
Water? Excuse me.
I'm sorry.
Who's water? Like they don't see that it says Ashley on the front.
I don't know. I don't know who Ashley is. That was here. That was from day shift.
You know, we got to stick up to the managers, everybody.
Right. Yeah.
People like, I'm thirsty. Right. Okay. I literally just got to the nurse's station to chart. Literally. I have not sat down in 3 hours. Mm-hmm. I would like some water and to chart at the same time. I'm just being honest with you.
Please allow me to quench my thirst.
Send all your cards now to Jayco.
Yeah.
About please allowing us to have water. At least water.
Yes.
Isn't like water a human need?
It is.
A human right.
It is.
It's a human right.
Mm-hmm.
So
clean water.
Clean water.
By the way, Flint does not have clean water still.
Hashtag save Flint.
Save Flint.
So if we had a message to Senator Walsh, it would be nice try again.
Yeah, pretty much. And this is a message I would send to all politicians on both sides of the aisle.
Mm-hmm.
when you are making decisions or supporting a bill or developing a bill that is going to affect professions
that you are not a part of,
please do your research.
Mm-hmm.
You need to know what you're talking about.
100%.
You know, this could have very well not gone viral. And this could have...
And no one would have known anything about it.
And another bill would have been just, you know, thrown in the trash, trying to protect our nurses to have a fair, you know, working conditions. This lady, this woman, and every single other politician, you guys need to be doing your research. Bottom line.
That's it.
Period.
Bottom line. So, to move on, mm-hmm, to possibly one of, it's probably going to be one of my favorite segments on every episode, if we can. Since it's our debut episode, we're going to sponsor this Witness My Waste via Nurse Life RN on Instagram. If you're not following them, I don't understand what type of nurse you are, because I feel like every nurse I know follows Nurse Life RN. It's possibly one of the best.
It's one of the funniest meme pages
out there, and the stories that come through there is pretty great. The host of the page seems super cool. So today's Witness My Waste stories will come via Nurse Life RN. Follow them on Instagram, and we're just gonna read you a couple of crazy nurses' stories, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about them so you guys can see how Witness My Waste will go.
All right, so this is a story. First-hand horror story from last night. My patient was an old lady transfer that I got. She was A&O times two and was super pleasant. Suddenly, around 11 p.m., she tells us that there's a little boy in her room asking if he has a pillow. Wants to get out of bed so the boy can have her bed. Okay. 20 minutes later, she starts crying, jumps at me, asks for a cookie, and starts laughing at me after I scream. She is then hallucinating that she is eating the cookie. 30 minutes go by. She's trying to get out of bed, hitting our NCT, telling us to shut up and stop touching her. We ended up at 12:30 a.m. putting her in a chair at the nurse's station where she folded towels until 7 a.m.
Classic.
During that time, she was answering all long-term questions appropriately, telling us she likes Celtic music and McDonald's cheeseburgers, but would suddenly laugh, smile, and talk to herself, someone else out of nowhere. During this time, another patient told another nurse that they had also seen a little boy in their room.
What? Is there a little boy haunting them?
Or is there a lost little boy somewhere who needs to find
his mother? Ever had any crazy, like, ghost things like that happen before?
Well, remember in Endo, they had that room, what was it, procedure room 2?
Yeah.
They had some ghost stories from there.
What? Yes. Nobody ever told me that.
Yeah, they said housekeeping would always close the door because they were afraid to go in there.
No.
At night. Yes.
No.
Yeah. They would hear things.
Room 2 is the one that's like straight from the door, isn't it?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. No, I was always in their room.
I never had any experiences like
that. I don't want that. Thank God that spirit didn't put no roots on me.
I know. Because, well, maybe he did. We just
right. That. Listen, get me all the way away. That's creepy. Mm-hmm. So here's another story, you guys. I have never had any sort of ghost story experiences at work. I've worked in psych emergency department and now the ICU. I'm at work right now and I just straight up got kicked out of a room. I have a really sad organ donor case I've had for the last 2 nights. I was organizing the room and I swear I saw her head move out the corner of my eye. I looked at her and then continued with what I was doing. I went to untangle some of the IV lines and I kid you not, the room got cold and I got this tight pressure in my chest. Something in me was telling me I need to get the hell out of that room, and I felt like someone had a hand in the middle of my shoulders pushing me out. So I guess my brain dead patient just kicked me out my room.
Oh,
that would, listen, let me tell y'all something. I'm going straight to the time clock and I'm clocking out.
Bye.
Patient out. Abandonment. Because yep. That patient don't want me here, obviously. Mm-hmm. So I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
not messing with no ghosts.
No. Listen. No. Mm-hmm. death is such a huge part, unfortunately. I mean, it's a huge part of life and it's a huge part of this career. That I'm not trying to play with the afterlife.
No, that's not my job.
No.
Not
ma'am.
Job description.
No, ma'am, no, Sam. Mm-mm. I'm not doing that. Listen.
Not doing it.
If a ghost pushed me out their room, I'm pushing myself to the car.
All the way home.
All the way home. Because I'm not meant to be here today. Mm-mm. Very clearly. Mm-hmm. Obviously. Mm-hmm. We got to go.
Yeah. Okay. See you later.
Listen, I can't. I cannot. We got one more story for you guys.
All right. Let's see. We had a patient on our unit on comfort care. And when she finally passed, the clock outside her room, which had been working fine all night, started moving backwards.
Mm-mm. Oh, see, no.
When it stopped, so did the CRRT machine I was running next door. Mm-mm. The fluid shift almost killed my patient, and he was never stable enough to restart the CRRT. When the funeral home came later that night to pick up the patient that had passed, my patient died as they rolled her body past his room. We all figured she just didn't want to go alone.
But you know, that is like, that if is, there's, that's so true.
That is codependency if I ever
codependency
heard.
In death.
That's going to be me. But I'm dragging somebody with me.
You know the story of threes, right? On the unit. You know, when one patient dies or one patient cold, you are very certain that two more is coming with it behind it. Mm-hmm. Somewhere. Either someone's going to try their best to die or someone else is going to die. And I swear, especially working CVICU, if we had one code, we knew it was about to be a crazy night. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And if that code did not make it, we just knew.
Oh.
They about to take everybody they can with them out of here.
These lonely ghosts.
That's crazy, though.
Hey, that sounds like a great band name.
This lonely ghost?
These lonely ghosts.
I guess.
We need to trademark that.
Trademark everything, obviously.
Yeah, obviously.
So that is like a little excerpt called Witness My Waste. And so we want you guys to send us your craziest. It doesn't have to be a ghost story. This one was just themed ghost stories from Nurse Life RN because people love sending him ghost stories, obviously. There's other stories that get sent, but I felt like that was the most safe for work type stories. So send us your stories. Log on to our Instagram. Find us on Facebook. Instagram is RNN Podcast. And Facebook is Refreshments and Narcotics Podcast. Send us your stories.
We would love to read them.
Okay. You can be featured on an upcoming episode. Obviously, we're not going to say Nurse Dan from Crittenton Hospital with patient in room 305. Right. Obviously, we're not going to do that.
All HIPAA laws will be complied with.
Because we like our jobs.
We do like our jobs.
And we still work.
And we don't want to go to jail.
Not at all. I don't have no money for that.
No.
Okay? Uh-huh. So send us your stories and we will read them on an upcoming episode.
Yes, please do. DM or you can comment so other people can read them too.
Either way, we'll read them.
We'll read them.
Trust us.
We want the good ones. Give us the juicy ones.
As juicy as you can get. Yeah. I want to hear about the gossip.
Yes.
I want to hear about the ghost stories.
Yes.
I want to hear about workplace violence.
Oh, dun, 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 dun. That is going to be on our next
upcoming
week.
Episode.
Yes, our upcoming episode, workplace violence. It's a real
y'all would be for all you non nurses out there. You would be shocked.
You would be
with
shocked
how much workplace violence nurses deal with on a daily. That is not an every now and then type thing. Mm-hmm. That is a daily thing.
It is.
So I'm excited. We've reached the end of the show.
Oh, I'm so excited!
I really hope you. I hope you were listening to this on break.
I hope so too. This is the lunch break. We hope you're gonna get.
I hope you got that passion pickup.
Yes.
Because, I mean, that's what we're here for.
We're here. We're all a team.
And if you're not listening to this on break and you just started listening to it at the nurse station, don't let me get you in trouble. Go to the break room. Pull out your turkey sandwiches. Steal one from the ER if you don't have one. Get a lunchbox.
Right.
And tune in with us next week.
Yes.
Until then, let your patients know WebMD is not in replacement of a doctor. Grey's Anatomy does not make you a doctor. And no, you're not. And we will see you next week.
All right. See you guys next week. Happy Nurses
Week. Happy Nurses Week.
Bye.